for the night. It's a little bit interesting. We have a little more time for questions. We remind you that the handouts back there do include a sheet that has frequently asked questions on it, some of which you may have heard tonight and may not have. There's another sheet with other information and links to some web materials that will keep you posted on this process. Any more questions this evening? You want to make a comment?
Diane Messer again from Liberty. You touched briefly on compensation for harm or damages, and could someone, one of you, speak a little more specifically to what the plan, if you are planning to write that into the regulations, the implementing regulations, how that might be handled and who might govern that? Such as an escrow fund, a bond, you know, any more specifics.
Are you talking for the test sites?
Initially for the test sites and then moving forward into the full-fledged permanent permitting.
There is a requirement for financial surety for the operator of a demonstration site that's built right into the legislation. I'm not sure if it contemplated damages or not. I know that it particularly address the costs, making sure that there was sufficient capital available to remove the facility after the term of the demonstration site. But does anyone else know?
I wasn't addressing the aspect of surety, because that's your concern for removing equipment after the pilot project, or the demo project, rather, and any incidents, you know, just more towards the livelihood, or if there is determined that there is an impact to a significant either a fish species or the right whales, you know, something that is discovered during the demo phase, and or a concern that it is an issue and maybe it doesn't even get fully realized until we're into the permanent permitting phase. If you have to take specific steps to protect these species, are the operators, the owners of the turbines and the supporting systems, are they going to be required? Is this still a maybe, or is this a definite?
Under the law that passed, we adopted what's called adaptive management, because these offshore floating turbines is a very new technology. There is not a lot of study on what their impacts are. So the applicant is required to put together these monitoring plans and also to file the annual report and to take steps to mitigate any unforeseen impacts that they're having, including moving or removing turbines. So if there are impacts on fish, whales, birds that were not envisioned when the permit was granted, then they are under an obligation to take action to mitigate them, including shutting them down during bird migration periods, moving them, or in the worst case, removing them if nothing else could work.
And the aspect of harm to an individual's livelihood, for instance, some of
the compensation issue?
Yeah.
That is currently under discussion by Kathleen's subcommittee about what that might look like. One of the things, in fact, we dealt with today, and I see somebody in the audience who was at our meeting. God bless you for coming tonight as well. We're discussing it as part of the discussion about the lease that would be negotiated with the Bureau of Public Lands and the Department of Conservation. And, you know, if you have a lease right now, there are how many? A couple thousand leases that the state of Maine has issued to private parties, many of which are for permanent docks and piers, things that extend out over the water that are permanent structures. And there's an annual rent that is required in exchange for that lease that's set according to formula. That formula was just changed. These are different types of projects. We don't have any experience with offshore projects. So we're currently contemplating, you know, what would that annual rent be, what is fair to charge. And we're also looking at the concept of royalties, that as these projects get commercialized and start producing a revenue stream, what is the formula for the state capturing back some of that profit in exchange for the occupation of public land. We haven't talked about, to date, actual compensation of individuals, because the property that's being used really belongs to all the people of Maine, so the concept is that the benefit in the form of compensation would also go to all the people of Maine in the form of the types of things we've talked about are public access, mapping nearshore habitats so we get more information about these places. We have talked about some contribution to the affected industries as a whole, if there's some research or marketing assistance that could be provided to, for example, the lobster industry. So those are some types of things that are under discussion that will be brought to the task force at their two remaining meetings, October 7th and 30th.
I'll be there. What you said is very encouraging. I wish I'd had the opportunity to attend those subcommittees, but that was not possible. That would have been my preference. I think you'll allay a lot of people's concerns if early on in the process you were to share what you're contemplating making the rule or governing aspect and getting some feedback on that, because the people who do have a concern about the impact of their livelihood, whether it's a specific individual fisher person or lobsterman or a small company that's earning their livelihood in that respect, if they perhaps may be even invited to be participants in determining the final, during the demo phase perhaps, but I might suggest that might be a good thing to consider, to get them involved. If the site that's chosen is very likely to have impact to their livelihood, get them involved in the discussion on how that would be handled, what compensation, and I think you'll get a lot more people to be more accepting. Thanks.
Okay,
thank you. I will be. I on along the same lines, actually. It seems to me that there's got to be a way in looking at writing the regs for all of this that not only the state, and I'm really happy to hear you're thinking about royalties because it would make some sense, but I think that the local the localities where some of these places come on shore, as well as the islands, for instance, could really benefit from some way of remunerating them. And I don't, you know, I know if, I don't know which is your, what site the University of Maine would really like to, you know, choose, but there are small islands which could certainly benefit from the short cables and things like that. But if you can be thinking about, you know, small business is the backbone of Maine, not big business. And big business is maybe, you know, developing, but they usually take their money out offshore from us. So we would like to support, you know, business that benefits the people in the state of Maine. So thank you for taking that.
Before we break, would you join me in thanking the panel for being here tonight? Thanks a lot for coming out. We appreciate your being here. You've been a great crowd, staying on focus, and you're very brief. I remind you that the process is not over. This is the fifth of these series, but there will be a public comment period in mid-November as these ideas percolate.
Thanks, everybody.